Hello, strong, feisty women. Some of you may recognize my voice. I'm Celine Yeager, host of the Hit Play Not Pause podcast. Throughout my career as a professional health and fitness writer and now a podcaster, I hear countless questions from women who are trying to understand how their ever-changing hormones impact their sports performance. So we decided to serve up some answers in a brand new series called Hormonal that we will be releasing on the Feisty Women's Performance Podcast feed. Throughout this four-part series, reproductive endocrinologist Dr. Carla DiGirolamo and I will be tackling topics like periods, the pill, pregnancy, and conditions like PCOS, all from the perspective of sports performance. If you aren't already, follow the Feisty Women's Performance Podcast and stay tuned for our first episode releasing on April 15th. Also, have questions you want answered? Send us a voice note at speakpipe.com/hormonal and we'll get it answered on the show.
Hi, our amazing If We Were Writing listeners. Don't worry, you're listening to the right show. This is If We Were Writing. I just wanted to pop in here first. This is Kelly, and in today's show, we have a conversation about fact-checking related to a New Yorker article on gender binary in sports. And after I said something in the show, I wasn't 100% sure, so I realized I should fact check myself and be accurate. So I do want to preemptively here issue a correction. You'll hear me say in the episode that there had been no trans athletes in the history of the Olympics, at least knowingly, but I wasn't sure about this most recent Olympics. And so I wanted to confirm with you all that this last Tokyo Olympics was the first time ever there were trans athletes competing in the Olympics. A couple of athletes who identify as non-binary and a trans woman weightlifter who had gone through the medical transition required by the IOC at the time. And that was the first time ever known in the history of the Olympics. I also wanted to confirm, which is the topic of discussion today, Chris Mosier, the triathlete, was the first trans athlete to compete in the US Olympic trials as the gender they identify as, when he competed in the men's 50-kilometer race walk, but he did not make the Olympics. Just wanted to make sure in an episode about fact-checking that we fact-check and get the details right. So consider this my correction on myself. Now on to the show. You are listening to If We Were Writing, a feisty triathlon-ish podcast. I'm Kelly O'Mara, and together with Sarah True, we head up a weekly group ride where we dish on all triathlon news and everything else-ish we want to talk about. We're joined regularly by Khadijah Diggs and Jocelyn Wong-Neal, and Laura Sedol does her Sid Talk segment updating you on everything you need to know from the weekend. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. If We Were Writing is a production of Live Feisty Media. Join us on our group ride. Yeah. All right, Khadijah's back this week, but Sarah's missing now. And so, Khadijah, you missed out on our AMA episode last week.
Yes. Yeah. I was heading to Daytona. Yeah, and I was in the middle of Jacksonville and I was not pulling over in Jacksonville. Yeah. Yeah.
How was Daytona?
It was good. I love multi-sport events. So I love the whole multi-day thing. I got to camp out in my van. My race went great up to mile 4 of the run.
Halfway. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm allergic to bees, and I got stung on the bike, and I made an executive decision to give myself an EpiPen because my tongue started swelling up. And I got through lap one and lap two, just yeah. But I finished. I came in fifth.
Do you carry EpiPens with you?
Oh, I keep them on my bike everywhere.
Oh
yeah, I go into anaphylaxis.
Yeah, if you're really, because I've gotten stung by bees on the bike for sure, but I'm not like super allergic or anything.
Yeah, it's
like fine. Yeah,
I almost. Yeah, I saw it in my visor, so I ripped off my visor and started screaming, and of course all the guys around me are like, "Okay, what's this chick doing?
What's happening?" Yeah,
and I'm flailing, and yeah, it was
I got one in my helmet one time. That was terrible. Like went in the vent and I could like feel it like in my, and I was like,
yeah. I mean, even if you're not allergic, it makes you frantic. But then once I felt that I had got stung, I was like, okay, keep your heart rate down. You got to make it an executive decision in T2.
Right. The one that's like, cause of like, I'm always running like out on trails. If I'm always like, if I get bitten by a rattlesnake,
like you have to keep your heart rate down, but also get to like help, because you can get like an antidote if you get it right, like quickly.
Yeah.
You have to be like, okay, I need to be calm, but quick.
Ooh.
Yeah, I just backed off. Somebody said there was a girl who was like riding right behind me. She said it was like mile 50 something. So it wasn't that far away. So I just backed off and it was, I felt okay. Then I felt my tongue getting bigger. I was like, okay, this is not going to end
not
well.
Good, yeah.
Wait,
yeah.
Have you given yourself an EpiPen before? I want to know what it's like.
It just feels like a pinch. Hmm. I mean, it's in a container. You just take the cap off, you hit yourself and you hold it for like, I hold it for 5 seconds and then you trash it. I learned though that you're not supposed to trash it because there's three doses in there. I didn't know that. A friend of mine who's actually a medic, emergency medic, she said there's three doses in it. She said you should hold on to it in case you need another dose. So when you get to somebody who can help you, they can actually take the rest out and give you another one.
Hmm.
Yeah.
What? Okay, so I thought you meant it goes, I thought you meant you gave yourself like a triple dose.
No, just one. But I threw away the rest of it because I didn't know that I didn't. And all the years I've been using an EpiPen, I had no idea it was three doses in there.
Well, there you go. Did you, I know your goal was to qualify for
Worlds?
Yes. Yes,
I did.
Yay!
I did. My ultimate goal was to be in the top five, and I eked out a top five. The
good
sad
for
part
you.
Was I thought I was going to make podium, but
yeah, well,
just, whatever.
But
I'll
you
do it
didn't.
Next year.
You didn't die.
I didn't die.
Key. That's key.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like a Mack truck hit me now.
Well, yeah.
So.
Yeah, my husband ran his first marathon on Sunday, which we never did. But yeah, he's also like laying in bed with like a fever, and I'm like, it's either post marathon. The CIM.
CIM. Okay.
It's either post-marathon terribleness or like you definitely got COVID, right? Like one or the other. So you're like, awesome. So, and then Sarah's missing. But when we get back from our ad break here, we are going to have a little voicemail from her. But first, I feel like, guys, so we have to talk about what to do in the winter. Like I keep messing with my hair on the video because I'm like, I just got back from the pool. Do you guys like... You guys have all this like gross hair wet.
I swam this morning. Woo!
Oh yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's been a long time since I've actually swam through the winter, so that's a big deal.
When I learned to swim, I grew up in Chicago, and like you would get the whole like your hair would freeze on the walk home.
Whoa!
Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh man.
I do have to like some people if they have more than one workout don't shower after the swim, but I definitely have to shower, like wash all that chlorine off.
I leave my hair braided, so
well, there you go.
Issue. African American hair is a lot different, so
right, it's probably a whole different
yeah.
ballgame.
I just make sure I rinse it and then I pour conditioner through it, but I just never take it out.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually protects your hair because it saves some of the moisture.
Well, I'm bringing this up because, okay, I'm going to let everyone know before we go to our ad break, Lucy Charles Barkley's favorite TryHard bundle is live right now on TryHard, and you can win one of 10 signed casts by Lucy, and you get 10% off the bundle. This is exclusive only to Feisty fans, and you can be entered to win and get the 10% off with the code PARTICIPATE by December 10th. And we'll put the link in the show notes, too, so that everybody can, you know, get their super non-chlorine hair. And then after we come back, for this ad break, we will hear from our missing Sarah.
Iron Women is excited to announce a new partnership with Bicycle, the largest global marketplace for pre-owned bikes. With more than 20,000 pre-owned and refurbished road, gravel, mountain, and triathlon bikes available, Bicycle connects buyers and sellers on a global scale and makes the process of buying and selling bikes safe, easy, and convenient for riders. We all know there are plenty of marketplaces and classified sites out there, but what sets Bicycle apart is their guaranteed buyer protection, secure payments, simple shipping, and first-class customer service. Additionally, when you sell a bike, Bicycle provides a bike box directly to your door and coordinates pickup at a time that works best for your schedule. That kind of service has me swayed, and I'm cleaning up one of my old race bikes to sell on Bicycle right now. For a limited time, you can save up to $100 on your purchase at Bicycle by entering the code FEISTYTRY, all caps and one word, at checkout. That's code FEISTYTRY at Bicycle.com. BUYCYCLE.com.
Chasing epic is the essence of the Orca brand. It's about seeking moments in life that make us feel truly alive and connected to the beauty of the world around us. And let's be honest, with a lot of swim, bike, and run, we get to see a lot of beauty. Orca's been a longtime partner of Feisty, and we work with them year after year because we love their products and their commitment to creating amazing wetsuits made for women. I absolutely love my Orca wetsuit. Apex is number one, but there's a range of triathlon wetsuits. You can choose between flexibility, buoyancy, or a combination of both. Really, there's a wetsuit for every triathlete and for all of your epic adventures. As a Feisty listener, you can get 15% off with the code IRONWOMEN15 at orca.com. Get out there and chase some epic, friends.
Jocelyn, I know, you know, we're getting older and aging, and you've been using Aminocos Heal as part of your like post-workout recovery, right?
Yeah, it seems like after I became a mom and then turned 40, my recovering abilities really tanked. So as you remember, I then tore my meniscus, had to get surgery in my knee, and now I've had this lingering ligament injury in my foot. So I've been adding a scoop of the chocolate flavored Heal to like either a glass of chocolate milk or a recovery smoothie. And I love that it helps accelerate muscle repair and reduce inflammation so I can keep training and racing hard in my 40s.
Yeah. And so you use the Aminoco Heal chocolate. How do you like it? How's it taste?
It tastes pretty good. I mix it up with a bunch of stuff. So it's like, tastes like a chocolate shake.
And all Aminoco products are 100% science backed. It's, you know, Feisty's go-to essential amino acids. And you can get 30% off with the code RIDING, as in if we were riding, at aminoco.com/riding. You'll also get a free gift for new purchasers. That's aminoco, aminoco.com/riding, and use the code RIDING at checkout for 30% off and a free gift.
Hello, ladies. I am very sorry I can't make it tonight. I will have to forego a ride for another week. I am absolutely in the weeds, as they say. End of the semester for me, just really behind. Actually, not behind. I just am overwhelmed by the amount of work I have to do. And unfortunately, our time where we normally ride together is also one of my somewhat productive hours before I fall asleep at 9. So I won't be able to ride with you, but I do have a couple of messages for you. So I was wondering what you think about this. I was reading a New Yorker article about, basically it's about the how the binary system for biological sex in sports, you know, isn't a perfect system. And in the article, they mention how Chris Moser in triathlon has broken barriers by being a trans athlete repping the U.S. at the Olympics. And my first thought is, you know, Sarah, let it go. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. And then I'm like, you know what? This is factually incorrect. It's the New Yorker. It's not BuzzFeed. Can you hear my kid in the background? So it's, I feel like journalistic integrity, fact checking, right? So I ended up writing an email to the editor, and it took me way more time than I actually have to find the relevant email. I'm like, hey, just a heads up, fact checking, here we go. Now, I would like to discuss whether or not I am being absolutely ridiculous in feeling that urge to fact check, and whether any of you ever feel need to fact check other people about something that, like, it's only things that I know for a fact are correct or not. And this is absolutely wrong. If it's something in the gray area or something I'm not an expert in, I'm not going to write a letter to the editor, but I feel like this is an area where I have earned a little expertise. Anyway, I'm curious what your thoughts are. Part of me feels very petty and silly. Maybe I am just looking for somebody else to back me up. Yeah, my kid is trying to drink seltzer right now, by the way, and it's getting all over him. So that is where things are right now. He sounds like how I feel, just a crying toddler with seltzer all over me, because somebody isn't paying attention to me at this moment. All right, let's see, what else do I have to add? Not a lot. I'm really struggling a bit with motivation these days. I find it incredibly hard going into the hospital a couple days a week and coming out and it's dark and I don't see light all day because our offices do not have a window. And I'm wondering if you or any of our listeners have some wise words for managing this time of year and being an athlete with all the dark. Oh my gosh. Okay, my toddler is absolutely soaking wet. I should probably take care of this. Anyway, I'm sorry to miss out on a ride, and I look forward to seeing you all tomorrow. And listeners, don't worry, I will be back.
All right, so we're not going to tackle the whole like spectrum of binary gender. What Sarah's most upset about is that Chris Mosier, as much as I love Chris, did not go to the Olympics. So how did the New Yorker get that wrong?
I'm disturbed that she spent so much time looking for the editor to email that she doesn't have time to be on our podcast tonight. That's what I got out of this.
That's what you took from that? Okay.
Yes. Yes.
I'm with her though. I would be so annoyed. Like, if I was reading an article about something, I mean, this does happen to me all the time. You're reading an article about something you actually know like a lot about and they're like wrong. Like they're just not like, oh, I don't agree with them. Like, that is not an accurate fact.
Right.
That I'm like, well, what else did you get wrong? What are you getting wrong in stories that I don't know things about? Right.
Yeah. But people think everything that's on the internet is correct.
But this is the New Yorker. The New Yorker hires like multiple fact checkers.
You'd be surprised because even at work, sometimes you wonder.
So I like when I heard her, you know, I was able to like look for this article and like skim it quickly before we came together to talk. It's very long, but I kind of, do you want me to read the sentence?
Oh, okay. Yes. So then we can judge the accuracy.
Okay.
Yes,
okay.
And so, the grammar.
It is, oh my gosh. It's like a super, super long sentence.
Right. It's a New Yorker sentence with like
super long, but then all of these like after two semicolons, it says, the first American to make an Olympic team consistent with their gender identity after transitioning was actually a trans man, the triathlete Chris Mosier.
Okay, here's what's really upsetting about that sentence. Are you ready? I am actually not aware of any out trans athlete who has made an Olympic team. Like, now someone might have to double fact check me on that, but as of like the last Olympics, right? When I checked this like the last time around, so I don't know about like right now and everything. That was the case because that's like what, like, that was one of the, you know, facts that, like, you know, people are like, oh, they're gonna, right? So, I know that there was not an openly trans athlete that had transitioned that had ever made the Olympics for any sport, any country, right?
Yeah,
so that's like multiple levels of wrong. That sentence, you see what I'm saying? Like, not only did Chris like not make the Olympics, but that's not right. So I'm with Sarah. I would definitely have sent an, I would 100% have sent an email.
Yeah. I think if I was reading this article, well, is the problem that you can't comment on New Yorker articles? Because I feel like this is like, don't hunt for the editor's email. People will just like ream him in the comments.
No, you can, no, it's because Sarah was trying to like correct the mistake, not just, right? Like she was trying to like, you know, do you guys read the, like in the New Yorker, there's always like these like, they like pick a few letters to put at the front too, like little blurbs. And it's always like the guy whose book they reviewed is like, well, I feel like you got, so they're totally going to use Sarah's letter now and be like, Olympian Sarah True wanted to point out that we were incorrect on page 63.
Okay, and sometimes there are little comments at the bottom where it was like edited, the original version of the story.
Oh, yeah,
said
they're
this.
Definitely going to have to put a correction in because that's just wrong.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, Sarah, you are not being petty. That is wrong.
It's if I read this article myself, I would have like seen that and also been like, this is not right. But I don't know that I would go through the trouble of like hunting down the editor.
I have hunted down
you are a journalist.
Email. But I have like hunted down an editor's email to be like, here are the six things you got wrong.
I don't think I've ever done that.
You've never done that? It's like I don't do it a lot because like she said, most of the time you're like, whatever, not my problem. I don't care. But sometimes you're like, you are perpetuating bullshit. This is bad for democracy. Yeah. You're destroying America with your inaccuracies. Yeah. Okay, but her second question, which I appreciate, I particularly enjoyed Hawk like yelling through all of the background of her voicemail. Her second question about how do you deal with the dark? I gotta say, doesn't it? Maybe this is, it feels like shittier this year. It feels darker and colder earlier.
Yeah, it's actually warmer in Atlanta than it has been. I remember growing up, I mean, you get out of school at 3 o'clock, and before you get off the train, it's dark. It's like, I hate it. That's the hardest. I can deal with cold, even though I hate the cold, but that lack of sunlight, man, that's hard. Yeah.
I feel like it's worse when you have a bunch of stuff you typically get done like in those darker hours because it's just like drearier and like you're just less motivated in general. Like if I was getting off work and had like nothing to do but like sit and like watch TV and have a beer, then it wouldn't be too bad. But if you're actually trying to be productive or you have a small toddler, then it's actually...
Yeah, it's speed hard. Work with a headlamp is not fun.
And it's like swimming you have to do in the evening because it's the one that's like most, like you can't ride your bike in the dark really, right? And you like, and running kind of sucks. So like swim, if you're trying like time-wise, you're like, well, swimming's the one I have to do in the evening. But it's so, I like have not been able to get myself excited about dark,
I just don't do doubles. That's how you solve that problem. Don't do doubles in the winter.
I have to. My daughter's decided to take on every sport known to man. Flag football, soccer, basketball. She had a concert this evening.
So do you swim or run in the evenings or both?
I usually swim and do my cycling in the evening because I like to ride on the kicker. I do.
Oh, you almost, do the trainer. Yeah, I do.
Except for my long ride, I do like all my interval training. I do it on the kicker because I like the control.
I do not. We have like, I live in like 2 blocks from a valley road that you can just, it's just like, right. So it's like literally like riding the trainer except outside. Like there are no stoplights. There are no stops. Like I can just go
back.
So it's like,
what?
Right. Like I'm always like, so I just do not ride the trainer. I'm like, why would I do that?
Yeah. No. And I have a couple of spots in my neighborhood. They're like hills for 2 miles. Like if I want to practice my climbing, I'll do that. But all my interval stuff I do on the trainer, just the long rides and my hills I do.
See, I will only do it if I have to get a bike ride in the evening. Cause I do hate evening workouts. They are just like miserable. Yeah.
Speed work's the only thing I hate doing in the
dark. It's like running in the dark. It's like something, it's like the perception. Like you're like, I'm running so fast. And then you're like, you look at your watch and you're like, oh.
Yeah. Oh. I think I actually run faster in the dark because I'm like a little more terrified that someone
Yeah. I would run like in the evenings, like they're like a loop across from the gym, right? Like around this park. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, it's like a kind of empty park, but there's street lights, right? And there's a guy up ahead. And I came around the corner and he had like ducked into a bush or what, right? And you just go, nope, I'm out. And I like turned around. I was like, nope, not gonna attacked by this dude in a bush. Like,
that's maceable.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Nope. So yes, we have no advice for Sarah, basically,
well,
is what I'm hearing.
Does Sarah even listen to our podcast when she's not on?
Oh, that's a good question. Now we're gonna ask her that.
Yeah, because my advice would be to see if she can try one of those UV lamps while she's doing like homework at night, because that's supposed to help with like the lack of daylight in the winter, but we can quiz her next week and see
right,
if
we'll
she actually listened to
when
my
she's
advice.
I also like, so you know how every week we explain the latest controversy to Sarah because she's mm-hmm. obviously very, very busy and does not, besides reading her New Yorker stories and sending emails. So I was so excited, Jocelyn, for you to explain like this whole controversy with the Malibu Triathlon to her, because I think it's like the funniest thing ever.
Well, I didn't know about that. What's
well,
going
so now
on
I feel him? Like, so now maybe, you know, maybe we'll explain to Khadija.
Yes, I don't know either.
You okay. didn't want to bring up my Cozumel controversy?
Oh, yeah. So Jocelyn's Cozumel controversy is that she, we all refer to it as like a West Coast, Western region race. Mm-hmm. And she's like, but it's in like the middle of the country.
And no, it's like, not even the middle.
It's like it's under Alabama or whatever.
It's south of, Khadija lives in Atlanta. Do you consider Cozumel part of the West Coast races?
I just consider it like a Caribbean race.
See, I think that's
South
like,
America, Caribbean race.
It's Mexican. And like Jocelyn, in all our heads, like Mexico is like closer to like Texas and Florida and Arizona. Oh, you don't think Georgia and think Mexico. Those are not like connected.
It's directly south of Alabama. I know. So last week, Kelly mentioned it was like lumped in with Ironman California and Arizona. And then she says Cozumel. And I was like, and Ironman Florida. And she's like, no, no, that's like totally
separate.
Maybe
it's just got more of like a West Coast vibe.
Yeah, it's more of a West Coast vibe. Yeah.
And then
but
this article
then triathlete
came out
magazine.
Triathlete.
Backed me up and also put it under the Western region.
And so then it made me totally question the like, are my geography skills just awful? And so then I looked it up on a map and I was like, no, I still feel like this is closer to the East Coast.
You're being literal about geography, and this is more of a vibe, okay? Geography is a vibe, all right? Like
so I'm like, no, it's not close to Arizona and California. I'm not crazy.
I mean, even Florida, I really think should be like lumped in with the Canadian races because it's got more of like a Canadian, because all the Canadians come down there to race.
They do.
It's like got a Canadian vibe. Hey.
Because like Mexico, like again, Mexico is more Californian than Georgian. And so I was in Mexico one winter, and yeah, our entire resort was, and I didn't realize they were all Canadian until like the resort was playing hockey like around the clock, and I was like, what the fuck, like these Mexicans are like really into hockey, like what is happening? And then you go to like one of those dinners and they're like, everyone from the US cheer, and it's like me and like five of me, and then they're like, everyone from Canada, and it was like everyone, and I was like, whoa.
Ooh.
So, there you go. But no, Jocelyn, that is not the controversy this week. The controversy this week, here's what I think is hilarious. I'm going to tell Khadija about this. So Super League Triathlon, you know, Super League, they bought the Malibu Triathlon like a year ago, 2 years, and then they bought Chicago and they bought New York, and they're like trying to make this whole big like US series.
Oh,
right?
They bought Chicago and New York. Wow.
Yeah. Okay. So then they're trying to make this. So they like just hired, like literally like 3 weeks ago, they said I could talk to him in, like in the new year, this head of US events. So they're like trying to make this huge big push to the US. And then here's what happened this week. The guy who sold them the Malibu Triathlon snaked them behind their back, went to the Malibu City Council, and got the one permit for a triathlon in the city. Because the Malibu is like obviously a, you know, Malibu. And so there's only like two, they only allow two races a year. So he got the one permit for his like, and he started like a new company. It's like called the something Zuma Foundation that's going to like donate money to the city, Malibu inner city youth or whatever. I don't know. And like, and so he's starting his whole own race that looks a lot like the race that he sold to Super League. And so if this goes down, they're like, meet, like the meeting next week is to like approve it. They're like Super League won't, like there won't be a Malibu. Like, isn't that insane? That's insane.
That seems sketchy as hell.
I want to know how they didn't put a non-compete in that contract. Like when Iron Man bought Vineman here, right? The only reason that Vineman didn't, that those guys didn't like immediately turn around and put on another race is because they had a 5-year non-compete for the region. Like that's like standard when you buy a race or anything like that.
But this new race, is it going to have like the star power of a Super League?
Well, I don't know, because this guy's basically started his own, you know, off-brand, the Triathlon of Malibu, right? Like whatever, like his off, right? Like,
but who's going to come to that?
Well,
All
I
the people
mean,
that
now
used
it's
to come
Peruvian.
before.
Yeah.
All the celebrities. David Duchovny.
Right. J-Lo, she's going to be out there
J-Lo.
at the triathlon of
All the people with
Malibu.
30,000 bikes and hired people to ride them for them.
Yeah. But isn't that crazy? I think that's like the craziest thing I've heard. Like that. And it also really makes me feel like somebody just like did not understand like California City Council.
Did MACA cut that deal?
No, like, well, like Super League, MACA is like barely involved in Super League anymore. You know what I mean? I mean, I like he's like a figure, but he, no, it's like
Yeah.
they have a whole operation, but they're like a UK-based London operation.
Yeah.
And I feel like they also had that whole issue with like they almost lost their permit right before the race this past time because there was an endangered fish in the stream. And I feel like they just like really don't understand California, right? I feel like they need somebody on the ground here who's like, look, you need to go to the planning commission meeting and like play nice.
I feel like this guy, I don't even know who this guy is, but he's like, I am picturing like Mr. Burns from The Simpsons, and he's just like, mwahaha.
Like Michael Epstein, I think. Anyway, I think this is like the funniest thing I've
Michael
heard.
Epstein, she said Michael Epstein.
I think that's what
Okay.
his name is. It's something like that. Yeah. So that's my controversy for the week. I think it's like the funniest, worst, terrible thing I've heard.
Weren't
So
they trying to like rebrand it as the triathlon
yeah.
majors, right?
Yeah. They were gonna have like the Malibu and Chicago and New York and make it like this whole big thing and like bring back non-draft racing in the US. It was gonna be great. So I'm kind of like, oh no. This is not good.
Wish there were more draft legal races in the United States. I look forward to those. I only get to do it like two or three times a year. It really kind of
The
stinks that
draft
they don't
legal?
have, yeah,
Yeah.
that we don't have more.
Yeah, it's just like not a thing here.
So then, what he's gonna do, this Michael Epstein guy or whatever his name is, he's
Or
gonna
whatever his name
then
is,
turn
yes.
around and be like, all right, I'll sell you this one permit I
I know, that's what
have
he's gonna, that's what
for
I think. I'm like, oh
another
my God.
$1 billion.
This is like, okay, so
$1
like liquor license?
billion.
Absolutely.
You heard it
Like,
here first.
it's out, you know how like liquor licenses and stuff can be hard to get? And so when a restaurant goes out of business, they'll like sell their liquor license to somebody else for like a couple hundred thousand dollars. Like, this is a thing. So this is
Ooh.
what this feels like, right? It's like very,
Yes.
yes. You know what? They need to hire me and I will explain California politics to them and help them navigate.
It's, you know what? We're gonna start a triathlon dark web.
Oh, good. Good.
Not
That's
the
what they need.
triathlon dark web. Are there any updates on the 180 hostages?
No, I think the bikes are all still in a shipping container and going through legal wrangling, legal fighting.
Yeah, it's gotten really quiet about it.
I mean, I think it's just lawyers, right? Because there's a point once lawyers get involved where like you don't hear a lot because everyone's being told like shut the fuck up, like
Yeah.
we're doing our lawyer thing,
I bet the lawyers shut down the
Oh yeah, they definitely shut down the GoFundMe. They
GoFundMe.
100% shut that
No
down.
more GoFundMe. No one's saving these bikes
Now,
except us. The lawyers want to be the heroes.
that's what we often think about lawyers, you know.
Hero
Okay,
complex.
we do have one a voicemail though from a listener, and so we're gonna play that before we go to break, and then when we come back, we're gonna hear from Sid Talks or from Sid. We have Sid Talks from Sid, who just won Patagon Man, Patagonia Man, Patagon Man. After this break.
Hi there. My name's Laurel. First, I wanted to say that I love the podcast. I've been a listener since 2019 through all of the iterations, and I'm a huge fan. Thanks for continuing to put this content out, and I really look forward to listening to it every week. I originally discovered this podcast, like I said, in 2019 when I was living in Shanghai in China. And training with a group of female triathlete friends. We were all living in China and we raced triathlons and half Ironmans there. And one of those women, Lauren Tinonenko, now lives in Chile. And this is why I wanted to voicemail you today, because I saw that Laura Siddall just won the Patagon Man in Chile. And so figured it might come up on the show. I want to share that Lauren, the friend, my friend from China, who now lives in Chile, she and her partner Nico just completed 16 full Ironman distance triathlons in 8 weeks. So that's two per week, one in every region of Chile. They called it the Chile Man 16, and that's the handle that it can be found on Instagram too, Chile Man 16. And the terrain that they did for these races included like water, really cold water, down to 7 degrees Celsius. They had rides through and runs through mountains. They did rides on gravel terrain. They did runs on trails. They had snow and rain, and luckily for them, some sunshine too. But it really showcased all 16 regions of Chile. So I just wanted to share this cool story that relates to Chile and make sure that the team knew about it. Anyway, thanks again for putting out the podcast, and I look forward to listening next week.
All right, Sid, you are still in Chile at a Airbnb on the side of a mountain by yourself. No, I'm freaking the fuck out. I feel like I'm in a horror movie and I don't want to talk about it because it's going to put pictures in my head. No, I am. I'm still in Patagonia. I am staying in an amazing Airbnb. It's just someone's house, but it is like up this track. There are other houses around, like just spaced out on this land. So I can see lights. So you don't feel completely remote, but it's so, like, there's also no curtains in this place. And that freaks me out. Because I like shutting the curtains at night. However, the amazing thing is, like, you wake up in the morning to the light and I just look out of the bedroom and I just see, like, straight, you know, I'm not even getting out of bed and I just open my eyes and there's just mountain views out all the windows. So it's, yeah, it's pretty cool. I was here with my support crew and then they'd gone home today. So it's just me for tonight.
So you're there for Patagonia Man, which is, like, is it the first original extreme try or is it just like the most famous of the extreme triathlons? No,
well, I mean, Norseman's probably the most famous.
Oh, Norseman's the original. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
that's
but true. I think this is kind of, I feel this is taking over. Like, it's so unique here and like just, yeah, down, it's called, you know, the end of the world triathlon. And they were part of the X-Tri series and actually they've gone off on their own. So doing this race doesn't qualify you for Norseman or anything, which I knew, and that wasn't the reason for doing
it. That has its whole own little like qualification.
Yeah, because I mean, this race is, they've got, the team are amazing here. They've got such like, they're so good, so much with the local community, just so want everyone to have a great time. And they've got really like ambitious plans to like make it, grow it and stuff. And it just didn't work with X-Tri from what I can work out. So yeah, anyway, but I think it's one of the original. I definitely, out of all the X tries, it's definitely the, well, like, it's the one that appealed to me the most to do. And it's not, and I want to clarify as well, this is not a retirement race. Can I just say that? Like, everyone's like, oh yeah, I'm going to do that race when I retire. I'm like, I'm not retiring yet.
Okay, good.
Maybe, but just, it's not a retirement race.
How was the, other than biking, like an hour slower than you
did
at Kona?
Oh my God, yeah, so slow, yeah.
Because it's like that hilly, like.
So the bike course is like, as well, it's 170, and the first like two thirds is actually like in theory tailwind, and then the last third is a lot of climbing, but some then like a fast last 20k is fast descent, but the last like 40k is block headwind or it's gusting headwind, and even with the tailwind, like, the road surface is so rough and so slow. And then you've got, like, gravel sections as well. And then potholes to avoid. It's just, yeah. It's
Wait,
just...
did you ride gravel on your time trial bike?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, yeah. It was like, they kept saying, and it's not gravel how we would picture gravel in the US, like in Colorado or California, which is this between, you know, sandy, you know, like the red color.
Like dirt road.
Compact dirt track. Yeah. This is gravel, which is roadworks. So it's like fucking massive rocks and ruts and lots of washboard and then like deep rocks. So that like sandy. So you just can't, you're like, you got no control. And I mean, half the road, the main road that runs the north, south of the country, I drove a bit of it today and drove for like 100K on this gravel stuff. And it was hard, bad enough in the car, but yeah. So yeah. So gravel.
You're really not making this sound appealing. As like a bucket list race.
I know I'm not because it's also we lucked out with the weather. Like, you come down here and they do advertise it. It's all seasons in one day. It's all seasons in 1 hour you get. And they've had really bad weather here. So I got here last Saturday and I didn't see a single bit of blue sky. It was raining. It was snowing. It was like 50K an hour winds. It was just cold. It was 5 degrees lower. And it was really not that appealing. and I was really like, oh God, this is,
But that, you know, that's kind of what you sign up for. Like, it is going to be tough. And you get on the ferry. So it's a ferry that drops you off in the dark. So you're swimming in the dark. You have these little lights in your swim buoy and it looks like sort of, you know, Chinese lanterns. It looks magical. But we got on the boat in the dark, not knowing what weather was going to come for the day. And sure. They take you out, and they had told us the swim would be short because it ended up being 8 degrees water temperature, Celsius. Which Celsius, yeah, yeah. So what's, I think that's 50 like is about 40s. 10, yeah. So it's mid, yeah.
Mid-40s. Oh, that's, I've done races in like 48, and oh, it's terrible, yeah.
So they had shortened the swim, but they hadn't told us how, they just said it's fucking cold, like we got to change plans. Anyway, but you get onto the boat in the dark and you're just all like, and I actually have found, you see, this is going to go longer than our 5 minutes. We found, someone had given me the tip to like go upstairs and there's like a lounge area on this ferry and it's comfy seats. So a few went up there and then like 2 minutes later, they came in like, no, 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 you can't stay up here. You have to go back down on deck. So you go back on deck and it's freezing. I took the hotel slippers. That was a win. But you've also got boots and gloves on. But then the sun started to, it started to get light and it was clear sky and they made us jump off the boat into the water. And I think because I'd built myself up to be so cold,
it wasn't
as bad as I was expecting. Yeah. But I then looked back, I just like did a 360 spin and it was this clear sky and you saw this big opening of the boat, which is all these iconic pictures mm-hmm. and just these snow-capped mountains behind. And I was like, oh my fucking God, this is amazing. And that was it. That was like, my day was like, I was like, I'm happy now. This is just so incredible. So we had about a 2K swim and then we got out and actually I wasn't too cold. So I was really happy with that. Did layer up, did then do a full change, strip, nudity, everything. And I've got film cameras on me as well because they're doing a documentary and I'm just like, I'm stripping.
You're like, it's happening. Yeah.
So wore quite a lot of clothes on the bike because it was like 2 degrees and stuff, 5 degrees. Right. But we lucked out. We had blue sky all day.
So and again, like,
yeah, like I said, like normally the weather's so changeable, but you know, yeah. And I, even going over the pass, which had had snow on it 2 days before, like no cloud in the sky. And it was amazing. It was still cold and it was still brutally windy. And I kept all my, the thing I did that I think a lot of people made mistakes because it wasn't as bad as we thought. When we started climbing, a lot of people stripped off their layers because they got hot.
Oh, and then they got colder.
Because we had our crew. And then the descent down the other side was super windy and they got super cold on the last 20K going into T2. So they all arrived in T2 freezing.
Like freezing, right? Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
And seems then like the, a very...
And then the run is, I have to say, the run is slightly longer than a marathon. It's about 43, 44K. And the first 20K is uphill, predominantly uphill. But it's just, oh, it's stunning. Like, you're just running in the middle of nowhere on your own, but you're on this track, there's a lake, there's snow-capped mountains, there's blue sky. It's just, yeah. And then the other amazing thing about Patagon Man is you get to ring a bell at the, that's your finish line, and it's like the thing is to get to ring the bell. But for the winners, so for the first male and the first female, it's actually the bell is sort of behind or next to a gate, and they open the gate up as you finish to ring the bell, and then the gate stays open for everyone else finishing, and everyone else still gets to ring the bell, but they don't get the gate opening. So I'm running down, and the last 2K, you've come off the track and you're on this road, and it's slight downhill, it's about 1.5 K. You can see the lake at the bottom, that's where the finish line, the gate is. You can see the flags, you've got a bit of a tailwind, but your legs are like
posted,
the last 7K, yeah. You've done a lot of downhill, you've done a lot of climbing, you've done everything. And I'm like, oh, I don't know what I do. Do I push the gate open? Do they open it? And I you know, I didn't know. And I was like, oh God, I don't know what to do. I'd not even thought about that. I just thought about this bell.
Right.
Anyway, they are meant to open the gate, but I get there and they can't unlock it. They've got a rope tied because it was so windy. They had to tie it shut so it didn't blow open while they were waiting for me. But they've tied it so tight, and with the wind blowing, the wind's tightened the knot on the rope, so they can't get the rope open off to open the gate. So I'm stood there with this gate shut going,
do I ring the bell? Do I wait for them to open the gate? Am I meant to run back up the road to come and back
do it again?
Down,
yeah,
do it again. And bless them, it was brilliant. They were like, it was so funny. I think it's captured on some of the videos.
Okay.
I was like, oh, I don't know what I'm meant to do.
Oh well.
Anyway, they finally managed to untie the rope.
So it's worth. So it's worth worth doing despite all of the craziness.
I mean. We had a magic day. It is definitely tough, but they advertise it. It's an extreme try. It's not meant to be easy. It's not meant to be Iron Man. They don't want to be called Iron Man. So don't expect, like, people were complaining it was a shortened swim. And it's like, the bike's short, the run's long. You're not complaining about that. Like, it doesn't have to be exact distances. There's enough challenges with the weather, the road conditions, the road surface. You get dogs running out, you get a cow. You know, it's... But it's so unique and it's so magical.
In all fairness, I have done
amazing. So yeah,
Ironman brand races in South America where there were dogs and cows.
Exactly. Yeah,
like that's just sort of how that works.
You know what? Like, I got a massive bottle of beer.
Okay.
At the FIFA winning, I got a traditional hat. I got a traditional pottery jug. I got accommodate like some nights stay in the race hotel for post race, which that's another story. But anyway, like they. And like the local tri club, I got to meet the kids and they're doing a lot. If you're going to do any race, this is definitely a good one, but it does, because it's an A to B race. It does need a little bit of logistics and planning.
Are you done for the season now?
I am done. Well, I'm done for the year.
Oh, okay.
So, but because of May and the crash and then not racing through the summer, I'm going to, obviously have a rest now this week, but I'm going to try and build, carry on momentum through and do New Zealand
with every other man and
his dog by the sounds of it as well.
Sure. Because Australia and New Zealand, it's so confusing. Like they really are the only places that still have races going right now.
Well, they're just starting their summer.
They're just starting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very confusing.
Yeah. So yeah.
All right. Well, did you, obviously we haven't talked in a few weeks.
Yes.
Biggest result that you missed in the last few weeks, what would you be your pick?
Oh, biggest result. I don't know because I've missed it. I don't know.
You missed it. Well, there you go.
I don't know what's happened. I've been in a stress hole. I was like, Patagon man, and what the fuck am I doing? Why did I sign up for this? I saw Lisa Norden broke the bike course world record at Busselton.
Yeah, she biked 4:21 in Western Australia.
Yeah, which is awesome. I love Lisa.
Significantly faster than 5:40 in Patagonia, man.
Just a little bit. Oh my God. And 10K longer, probably. Yeah.
And I think Fenella beat her out in Western Australia, I think setting a course record there.
Fenella got a course record, I saw, and it's her first win. Finally, she's managed to get the win.
It does seem like everyone's setting, like, we had course records in Florida. I'm sure we're going to have some at Bahrain 70.3 this upcoming weekend. Cause it's sort of like, fixed. I don't know, somehow that course gets
sorry, did
shorter.
I say that? Yeah.
That course gets shorter every year. No, I'm kidding. Yeah. It's interesting. It's like everyone's setting course records now at the end of the year.
It is like, but it's happening. I don't know whether it's a combination of, Lisa set a bike record, so that's different, but the shoes obviously on the run, the standard is just getting better. I think on the women's side, particularly, we're just seeing this next level of women's taking racing to the next level. And that's, I think, why we're seeing all these records getting broken, because they've been impressive races, impressive records before that, but we've just got this sudden leap forward in what women are doing and how they're racing. And that's why I think we're seeing a lot of the records going. True. Yeah.
That's probably true.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what else has happened since I've seen it? No, I'm kidding. There's been a lot of races. It does feel like every week I'm like, oh, it's the end of the season. Now I feel like
it was a big weekend. The Norwegians are taking on like the rest of the world again.
We have new Norwegians.
Yeah.
I think most interestingly, there's always been, I don't know if concern's the right word, but this like, okay, sure. Like the Norwegians, you really just mean two guys. It could just be like those two guys are fast and they work well together. And like what you actually have built is that they like compete with each other. You don't actually have a larger system, right? Like that's always been the like, especially since like they've never had particularly good women. Yeah. So it's always been like, do you really know how to coach women? Or is your system like just work for guys? But
and is it their system, because they're not actually those two aren't actually in the system kind of thing
but now we have like a Solveig Lovseth, which I'm gonna have to figure out how to pronounce her name. Solveig. I'm very bad at the European names with all the like the dots,
the
and
V's
stuff.
And the W's and the
but so she just won in EML 70.3, and so I'm like, oh
yeah,
Maybe their whole system is actually good at 70.3s and not Olympic.
And not Olympic distance. Oh, yeah. Man. And was it Casper Storms won the men's? I mean, he's been around. That's a bit harsh. He's been prominent in races or won races 70.3 before. But yeah, now we're seeing the emergence on the women's side.
Yeah.
It's
crazy. So, well, next week we'll talk about our
favorite
race
of the year,
race of the year, favorite of the year. So just store fan
that favorites up. As well.
Oh, we had favorites now.
Very popular to vote. We had, oh, what have I got in my pocket? Oh, that's my ticket for my pizza. CIM. Sorry, you can tell my brain is not
the marathon.
We had CIM
marathon this past weekend,
which a load of triathletes did.
Yes,
because I think obviously a lot were trying to do qualifying, you know, just see if they could get that qualifying time, which I think is awesome. And I'm obviously biased though because Manny Hansen.
He just missed it. Chelsea Burns was there. She just missed the women's time.
Matt ran it. Yeah. So the men's was 2:18. I don't know what the women's is.
The women's is 2:37. The men's is 2:18. The women's is 2:37. The women's dropped more. So the last time around, it was 2:19 and 2:45. And so they dropped the women's much more drastically. There are two things. One is that the women have stepped up. Last time around, there was only 80.
Same.
Around, there was only 80 something women who had run 2:37. And this time we have 173. So clearly that's they stepped up. But at the same time, that time's significantly faster than 2:45. Yeah. I suspect that they will adjust it. It'll go back a little bit, right? It'll be 2:39 or 2:40 for the next time. Because it's hard not to argue that the women's time is a lot harder than the men's now.
Yeah.
Sort of.
But that's I didn't realize. So Chelsea only missed it by a minute. That's awesome.
Yeah, she was close. I saw her.
And Matt
about
was
21.
I was super impressed with Matt, 2:22 off the back of his year of racing as well. If you think about Matt, runners probably only do one or two races a year, and he done he's done, but yeah.
I know. Yeah. I told you though, I didn't see him out there because, and this is not an exaggeration, there were 215 men in a race that only has 8,000 people that ran under 2:30.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Which is it was literally standing out there on the side. And it's also because they don't do a separate start for the elite women.
Yeah.
They don't do a break between elite. And so it just kind of merges. And it's just, and they, you know, we're used to triathlon, right? Where the age groups are spaced. Anyway, so basically it was I'm standing there and it's hundreds and hundreds of fast men, right? And they all are wearing the same shorts. Everyone has bought the same outfit from the running straight. And you're and it all just starts to blend and you're eventually you're I haven't seen them. Then I'm did they start the women at a different time?
Was it on a different, was it one of those courses where they start somewhere else and merge up further?
I was did I miss something? Yeah. And then one woman goes by and tucked into then there's one woman who, cause she, the woman who won ran 2:29. So she's tucked into this group of men and she just and then it was another 100 men before the next woman. And I was what is happening?
This is surreal.
It was I've never seen that before. It was the weirdest thing I've ever seen. Oh, so I missed Matt. Yeah. I did not see Matt.
In
those hundreds of men.
He was in there. Yeah. He did awesome though. But yeah. So next week, fun parts of the year, favorite parts of the year.
Favorite parts of the year. So think about that. You have a whole week to recover and think about your favorite thing.
Yes. And try and consolidate it down into a short.
You only
get
to pick one. Yeah. You only get to pick one.
It's never gonna happen.
All right. We'll talk about it next week. So here's my question for you guys. Would you ever do one of these extreme triathlons, however we're framing them?
If the swim's not longer than an Ironman.
Maybe if it's not cold, I'll do it.
No, well, okay. Patagon Man was super cold, and then Norseman is the really big one, and it's crazy cold. Super, super cold.
Yeah, I watched Norseman on YouTube or something, and it reminded me too much of Ironman Alaska. Yeah, I was just no, I'm good.
You're no. Okay. I do kind of want to do Norseman, though. I do think it would be
I mean, the bike and the run look like a challenge I would love, but I'm not getting in that water. That's out. If I could do a relay, I'm going to do a relay.
Wait, tell me about Patagon Man. Is it extra long at all?
No, it's actually no. So Norseman was the first of these extreme triathlon things, right? And then they started popping up all over. There's Kelt Man. There was Alaska Man for a while. Whatever. They're Survivor X-Tri in Arizona. Anyway,
And so Patagonia Man is like maybe the second biggest, like the second most popular after Norseman. And so it's on Patagonia. And the thing about these triathletes, like they're about Ironman distance, but like not exactly.
But like more elevation, more technical.
Oh, way more elevation, way more elevation, way more technical. It's kind of like adventure. It's more adventure-y. It's like
okay.
you will bike up this mountain and then you will run to the top. It's like shit like that, right? Or it's like, oh, we will go across this entire island.
Sounds like an Alyssa Gadeski thing.
Yes. So it's very like extreme, but I don't know what, you know, what qualifies. And it's self-supported. That's the, you have to bring your
own. Yeah. The self-supported part.
So I have a friend who's doing the Ultraman. And okay. I'm going to participate in the, Betsy's going to be the support vehicle.
Oh, is that your van?
Yes. Ooh, which one?
Ultraman or which van?
Oh, the Florida one. Okay.
I only have one van. Oh, you should have seen some of the setups at Daytona, man.
Yeah.
I was like, this one guy was literally, it was like a bus. I was like, his bus cost more than my house. It was insane. I you know, smoke up to my little spot.
Like, yep. So you're gonna crew for Ultraman Florida?
Wow.
I was just talking to, I think it's, well, he was like a triathlon-ish subscriber. I think he listens to the podcast, so hello. But he was just crewing for the woman who won the Ultraman World Championships.
Ooh.
And so, yeah, it's like, you can either be like super laid back and like, hey, we're just going to hang out. Or you can be like, have binders and spreadsheets. And like, you know what I mean? Like be very organized and focused. And I feel like I know which one Khadijah is going to be.
I'll have all his binders. I have all his nutrition lined up, wheels on the door. His significant other is the crew lead. So I'm just going to drive up far enough. I can get a little training in, make sure everything's on point. Need your wheels? Nope. Need more fuel? Nope. Give me what you got. Keep it moving.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, no.
I used to do spreadsheets when I did ultras because I would have a small crew. Yeah, Kelly, you need to know these things because you're going to do your first ultra,
so I'm doing
right?
Like the 100K, but like the thing about 100K is like, I don't know. I mean, my goal is like 12 hours, right? And it's like, I'm used to doing Ironman in 12, right? Like that's like, I don't need to change shoes or anything. I mean, obviously if it's like pouring rain, that'll be a different.
You change socks?
Yeah, but like if it's not pouring rain or something, it's just like, I'll deal with it for 12 hours.
Is your crew going to be at different crew stops?
Yeah, there's like a couple spots you can be. I told my parents to come out. So my parents are coming out.
So the spreadsheet is for different estimated times, depending on how you're feeling.
Oh, I know. So I've done that for my mom plenty of times where like you put the fastest and the slow, like what are the range? Yeah.
Like potential splits and stuff.
Right. But then like my friend who just did her 100, like then she had like what she wanted to eat, right? Like what was supposed to happen. But like people did not follow directions.
When I go to a race, I put in my training peaks the things I'm supposed to do on that day and what time they're supposed to happen. That's as close to a spreadsheet as I know this day I'm going to go pack and pick up, then go swim. And then you need to be resting by this time. That's the closest I do to a spreadsheet.
Yeah. But I think when you're like, multiple days and like, you know what I mean, that's when it's like you have to make it for your crew so they know when to
see that
because otherwise they're just like sitting out there being like, I don't know, Jocelyn's gonna come sometime. Or okay, so like my husband did CIM this past weekend, right? We talk about CIM, and so his chip stopped working like around 25k. And because he was not fully trained for it, I was standing, I didn't know, like at 30K, I was like, possible he stopped, like definitely possible. Like he just, you know, was like,
walked off the course.
Yeah.
So I didn't know. And then he came by and I was like, oh, okay, he's still running fine. Like, and then I was like, he's running fine. But then it didn't, like it stopped working. So then it didn't pick it up anywhere, like from there on. Yeah. And so I realized that if I didn't literally see him finish and like keep eyes on him, I was like not going to be able to find him because they weren't going to have like a record of him. They weren't going to, you know what I'm saying? Like there was not going to be like any way
And he's one of those people who, like, you know, is delirious when, like, collapses into a bush and you have to, like,
very dramatic.
Right. So I was like, so I literally was like, if I don't get there before he gets there, I'm like, it's gonna take me like 2 hours.
You'll never find him. Like, lost in the ether.
This, like, happened when he did 70.3 Worlds. I literally eventually had to, like, yeah. He had like wandered off somewhere and, like, laid down in some grass. And he was like, oh, I thought you would figure that out.
Amongst thousands and thousands of people, you were gonna find him.
I thought you knew where this blade of grass was.
Because you have this special connection. Right. You just know.
Yeah. So I'm always in one of two places, my van or the med tent.
How that works.
So CIM though, Kelly, originally you were signed up.
I did sign up, which is why I actually ran into the girl I sold my BIM to Ava.
Okay.
Right after as well. So I signed us both up. And so part of the reason that he was like, didn't really, was because he was just like, whatever, I just have to be like ready to run like what Kelly wants to run, which is like 250 something. And so he didn't know, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he was not, didn't know anything else. He was just like, I just have to show up and run with Kelly. But then I didn't run. So he still had to run. Just a shame.
But he didn't go 250?
No, he went like 258.
Oh, damn. Yeah. Good job, Steve.
All right.
Yeah. It was ugly at the end. But CIM is crazy because so many people are going for Olympic qualifying times. Like, it's such a place that people go for Olympic qualifying times.
The OTQ.
Yeah. It's like, it's a fast course. It's like good weather, right? It's the last one before the cutoff usually because it's like so late. So it's like a whole bunch of reasons, but it's also because everyone knows that, like, you know, then other people do, right? You know that there's going to be a group, like, which is rare, right? Like, it's hard to find a group running. A group of women running 237 is like,
yeah, and there's like, yeah, usually pacers, and it's like not so crowded.
Yeah, I mean, there's literally like, I mean, they don't. I thought they, because like it's just too much, but there's usually, yeah, there's like a pacer or like, and they often will give like $400 if you break, like, and they have a bell, like, it's a whole thing, right? Mm-hmm. But it makes it like crazy because it's like, I mean, it's a mid-sized, it's like an 8,000, 10,000 person, right? This isn't like a major, this is like a mid-sized marathon.
Yeah, yeah.
And like 1,300 people of that run under 3 hours.
Oh,
it's like, yeah,
that's a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah, so many.
So it's just like, so I was standing there on the sidelines and it was like, I mean, this is not an exaggeration, it was 200 and something men, mm-hmm, all running in the 220s.
Whoa.
Like, yeah. Before the first woman came by. And so you start to be like you're literally standing there, and then like men who are running 225, 220 marathons, like, all look the same. You know, like, not to, they're all wearing the same short, right? So you're standing there and you're like, did I like miss something? Is this like, did like they start early? Like, did the women go somewhere else? Like, I'm like, did I, like, am I in the right place? Like, it is fucking weird. Very weird.
What's the men's standard?
218.
Okay.
I thought so, it was faster than that.
Men's standards 218, women's standards 237. This is the deadline. It's about 220 men, 170 something women that made it.
That used to be one of my potential aspirations on like post triathlon life, was the OTQ. And then they moved it down to 237. Yeah.
If they had kept it at 245, I probably would have like, yeah, dedicated my last 4 years to that.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
237. Like, no, it's not happening. And then my friend of mine goes, well, you could, like, what about super shoes? And you're like, super shoes was how I was going to get to 245, man. Like,
yeah.
Let's be real.
Not going to take another, yeah, what, 8 minutes off? Whew.
No.
Super shoes is what got me under four. So, hey.
Right. You're like, that's what's happening here. So. All right, to close out before Sarah, because next week's our last episode of the year, and we're going to talk about our favorite things, best of the year, and then we're taking a 2-week break. But since Khadijah missed our AMA episode, we're going to ask her the big question from last week. You ready, Khadijah? What is your biggest triathlon regret? Not enough of us talked about dating regrets, because I feel like that's really what that person wanted to hear about.
The biggest triathlon regret?
Uh-huh.
Which could be a triathlon dating regret.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Now that I think about it, not going to Nice, and I hope to to fix that regret next year.
Oh, you mean not going to the...
Yeah, not going to Nice in 2019.
Yeah. For the 70.3 world.
Yeah. Mm. I hope to correct that next year if I can get my hiney across the line fast enough.
All right. All right. See, that's like... What's the word? That's like not a like a... That's like a fixable regret, right? Like, there's not like a... It's like, oh, I'll do something different.
Yeah.
That's not like Jocelyn's like...
Should have never gave that guy the time of day, regret.
Right, right, all right. That,
yeah. Yeah. You just don't leave someone stranded in a foreign country.
I'm too quick. I'm good at saying I'm just like, you know what? Yeah, you know what? You're boring. You gotta go. Or you know what? I'll call you. Just wait right there. Just wait right there.
Oh, man. All right. Well, hopefully Sarah comes back next week. Hopefully, man. And thank you all for listening. If you have your favorite thing from this year, your best triathlon moment of 2024, share it with us in a voicemail. The link is in the show notes, and we
2023.
Yeah, best of 2023. 2023. That's a wrap. I've already moved on this year.
Best of 2024 is gonna be all of us racing in Nice together.
Yeah, inshallah.
So yeah, best of 2023, and we will do that next week, and we will see you all then. Thanks for listening. None of you people can tell me to stop. My town, my crown. We know what it takes to be reaching the top. We're reaching the top. We're reaching the top. We know what it takes to be reaching the top.